Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com. /awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Welcome to The Glowdown by Breaking Beauty.
Our episode featuring Breaking Beauty news, what products we're loving
and not so much,
plus insider hair, makeup, and skin tips.
And the trends that are blowing up our DMs, we've got the hot takes coming right up.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Breaking Beauty Podcast. We've got a glow down today.
Hi, guys.
What's up, Carlene?
What's up? We have a superpower in the house today.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of those guests where I'm just like, what have I been doing with my life?
So it's none other than Jacqueline Johnson, and she's the CEO of Create and Cultivate, which we know is a millennial girl's dream. It's really the guidebook these days to being a woman in the workforce.
Yeah.
And so Jacqueline has written a book called Work Party. She has a podcast of the same name. And on her podcast, she's had everyone from Tan France to Ashley Graham as guests. Definitely some heavy hitters.
She's all about redefining the modern workforce for millennial women. In her own words, she's, quote, the internet's work wife.
Yeah.
So she's there to give you advice. And with Create and Cultivate, you know, she started this conference back in 2012. And it's really about connecting people
IRL
in real life and having people on the panels who are truly inspiring. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she's had Jen Atkin and Chrissy Teigen and Kim Kardashian and some beauty founders who we know and love, like Anastasia Soiree.
Yeah.
She's been on our podcast, of course. So I think they're just like super fun to go to. They're experiential. You get to do lots of fun stuff, but you learn and you connect as well.
You know, she's just hosted her first ever self-care summit, which is why one of the reasons why we wanted to talk to her on a beauty podcast. And, you know, I really do think that the time is now. Like, self-care is so integral to a lot of people's well-being. Like, you need to practice self-care, but it goes part and parcel with being an entrepreneur and trying to figure out this thing called work, this balance that everyone talks about and you're trying to achieve.
Yeah. And I think at the same time, people are capitalizing on the wellness industry so much.
Totally.
So, you know, when you're thinking about people's side hustles and entrepreneurship, which is a huge part of her audience and fan base, a lot of them are interested in wellness.
Mm-hmm.
And so that particular event was just this past weekend in LA. And I think some of the activations sounded really fun. Like, you could do a live with less class or learn about cannabis culture. You could take ukulele lessons.
That was fun. I'm like so bummed I missed that one.
Which is all about music therapy. And of course, on the beauty front, they had pop-ups from like Biossance, and they had a braid bar. You could get
a
B12
shot.
We gotta
go the next time.
Yeah.
Oh, hit me with the B12.
I know.
All day long. That's all I'd need. like create and CNC, create and cultivate. I'd listen to a panel, maybe learn how to make a new salad. Boom, B12, I'm out the door.
Yeah, ready get to- a little tarot card reading. I would. You guys all know how much at Breaking Beauty, we're big, big fans of founders. Our hashtag is Founders Rule. And we know that a lot of you are entrepreneurs. Of course, we had a survey recently, and we know that a lot of you are business owners, whether you're estheticians and you own your own salon, or you are an up and coming content creator.
Remember when we met that one listener in Texas and she did lash extensions all day long and she listens to our podcast?
Yeah, she was like, it's something for me to do while I'm working on my clients. We've heard, we've gotten a lot of DMs like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we tapped Jacqueline to give us her stellar advice on how to win in the work world, whether you're your own boss, you're working for the man, you've got a side hustle going, whatever you're doing to get that cheddar.
Get that bread, baby. And she's going to talk to us about how to brand yourself, because I just think it's such a huge part of the workforce today, whether you're talking about personal branding or branding a business that you want to create.
And finally, stay tuned until the end when Jacqueline and myself bond over the most cherished item in our wardrobes.
That
she's
crazy.
Super stylish as well.
So if people aren't that familiar with Create and Cultivate, maybe you can give a little 30-second elevator pitch what it's all about.
Yeah, so we are an online platform and offline event series for women looking to create and cultivate the career of their dreams. So what that really means is we host really large-scale conferences. We host smaller bespoke events like what we're doing tonight. We have a podcast, we have a book, and we have content on our site that's for the modern working woman.
I love how you say we, but really you're the mastermind behind it all.
By we, I mean me.
And so how many do you have a year now? Because I know they're in various different cities. You were saying you travel a lot. And how many people show up these days?
So for the conferences, we're doing two a year and it's over 1,000 women. Okay. We just hosted our New York conference and then we'll be doing San Francisco September 21st, which I'm really excited about as well. We've never gone to San Fran. We've done Los Angeles quite a bit. Yeah. But New York was epic. I mean, we had Martha Stewart as our keynote. It was like so cool. Great. Ashley Graham. It's just like a one day party. It's so much fun.
You've had so many big names. Like I know you had Kim Kardashian and Chrissy Teigen. Like how do you land these people?
So a lot of cold emails and a lot of follow up. Like a good example is Martha Stewart. I'd been outreaching to her team for over 4 years. So just, you know, borderline stalking, but like a ton of follow-up. And like the thing about people who are obviously of that caliber, it's not going to work out on the first try.
Yeah.
You know, their schedules are insane. And same thing with Kim. Like we were working on Kim for years and then it aligned with her schedule. Like, the, you know, everything sort of came together. And it's also like friend of a friend connection recommendations. Right. Because if you, you know, you can go direct to publicist or direct to manager. And yeah, sometimes that will work out. And it's like the stars align.
And they'll be like $1 million.
Yeah. Or they'll be like $1 million and you're like, cool, thanks, bye.
Yeah.
But I think it's also one of those things that we've been really lucky. And I kind of tell this to everyone is like, we've had great word of mouth amongst influential people. So we've had a good example is Sophia Rossi, who was the founder of Hello Giggles, keynoted one of our conversations with Hillary and Catherine, who started Click Media. And Sophia was like, oh my God, my friend Nicole should speak at your conference. Yeah. I'm like, Nicole who? She's like, Richie. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, that'd be great. Cool. And then literally Nicole Richie called me. She's like, this is Nicole Richie. I'm like, ah! But like things like that, where you have influential people who are, you know, have a good experience on site first and foremost, found it was beneficial to their business or brand. And then they can pay it forward by giving you that connection or intro. I think that's really what has been helpful for us in putting it forward. And then ironically, Kim was like, oh my God, my friend should do this with me. And I'm like, who's your friend? Chrissy Teigen. I'm like, look, your friend's invited. We're doing it. So that's how that happened. And then it was like, oh my God, Jen should interview her, Jen Atkin. It was like, you know, they all are actually very supportive of women owned businesses. Yeah. So, you know, I think people want to help. And I think also getting past the barrier of, and like, look, I have an agent. I don't want to say agents are bad, but I think it's like that layer is a little bit hard to penetrate when you're first starting out. But like, if you can get to the talent in some way, shape or form, like they're down, like they want to do these things.
And just make that connection.
Okay. Taking notes. Yeah, taking notes from we're creating and cultivating right now. So at the New York conference that you just had, you had a lot of amazing people from the beauty world on a panel. So there was Anastasia Soiree from Anastasia Beverly Hills. She's been on our show. You had Holly, the founder of Supergoop. So
to get her on the show.
Yeah, she's on our hit list, our want list.
I can make an intro. Yeah. See, this is how it all happens.
This is all how how it goes down.
Supergoop is the best partner. I love them so much. They've been a partner of Crate and Cold Dates for a long time. I genuinely am obsessed with the products.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just wondering about like that group of founders. There's so many powerful beauty women on one panel. Like what was the biggest takeaway?
Yeah, I mean, that panel was lit for sure. And we had so many amazing women that, you know, I mean, look, Anastasia like sold her brand for billions of dollars or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. It's insane. And she was there like meet and greeting with people. And I think that's so incredible. And, you know, we also had Jamie from Schmidt's Natural who sold her company. And so the thing about beauty is like it's in such an interesting space right now where like people are starting these incredible companies. They're selling them for a lot of money or they're just successful in their own right. And I think like what was so amazing about that panel was it had every kind of person in that industry. So like you had Cindy Ramirez from Chill House. So like the wellness side of things. And then you had Lilette, who's like an influencer who has a beauty line, like,
and Lisa Price.
And Lisa Price, who's, if you've never heard Lisa Price speak, I mean, it's wild. She was on my book tour and I interviewed her and I just like, I wish I didn't have to ask. I was just like, all I want to do is listen to you talk. Her story is insane.
Yeah. She's another founder, one for the podcast.
Founder of Carol's Daughter.
Founder of Carol's Daughter. Yeah. Again, sold her business, but is still on board as like the creative director. Look, like everyone wants to get into this space. So that panel was packed. Mm-hmm. And I think the takeaways are really just like, you know, being authentic to your brand, like, and then, you know, kind of going in with your niche, you know, with Anastasia's brows at the beginning and then like kind of spiraled into this massive empire. You know, Supergoop came in really like specifically in the, you know, SPF market. Now they're expanding into like more like shadows and things like that. So I think it's just, you know, kind of listening to these incredible women and hearing their story about building a product-based business, which I think is what everyone's trying to get into right now.
Who do you think? So I don't know how much you pay attention to the beauty. Well, you do. You were mentioning a lot of brand intel about beauty brands. Who's winning in your opinion? Aside from Glossier. Glossier, we know you're winning, but who else are you just like, they're doing it right?
I have to say Supergoop. I feel like they do a really good job on social. Totally. And I think it's really like those, like you said, those younger, like kind of brands that are going after that demo. Like I would say like a Lime Crime or whatever. Like those are the ones that always pop up organically in my feed because they're so social first.
Yeah. And keeping it fun, right?
Keeping it fun. Yeah, yeah, exactly. And the collabs. Like I'm always like into seeing like a new collab or something like that. Even though I feel like it's a little collab fatigue lately. Yeah, like we're like, oh my God, everyone has a line. Yeah. Everyone has a thing. And then I would also say just like the classics, like Bobbi Brown. I really love their products. Like I think they do a really good job on keeping the brand consistent and finding the right ambassadors and like being really smart and strategic about that kind of stuff.
Is there any beauty brand on your radar that if you were like working maybe your old gig or you'd like, I'd love to workshop this brand or bring it back to life or give it a 2.0. Anybody that you see, they're like, oh, they could just do this and they would be, they could pop off.
Well, it's funny because it's like, I feel like all the like 90s beauty brands that we all like loved and grew up with, like could make such a strong comeback right now because I feel like everyone's in that like the Wet n Wilds or like, you know, whatever it is. So I feel like there's a huge opportunity there for like those brands to kind of come back. But I mean, I feel like any of those sort of like OG brands right now could be really fun to kind of bring back and reinvent. So
Their spokesperson could be someone from those shows that are being rebooted, like The Hills and isn't it 90210?
Like Misha Barton's on The Hills now.
Misha Barton, the face of Wet n Wild.
exactly. But I feel like they could actually come back in like a really authentic way. It's kind of like in the same way like Lisa Frank or whatever is like starting to come. It's like interesting how these things are so cyclical. So I feel like those brands have like real name cachet with like our generation. So it's like, how do you bring that back in like a fun and interesting throwback way, or at least limited edition or something like that?
Okay.
You have your own podcast, Work Party. So if listeners tune in, what can they expect to be hearing about? I know you just had Amber Heard on the show. She's been on our show as well. What's sort of the MO of Work Party, the podcast?
Yeah. So it's really all about business. Mm-hmm. So we basically have an expert on. So we tackle a different topic. So whether it's raising venture capital, creating a brand, marketing, hiring, firing, whatever. We have an expert on for about 15, 20 minutes, kind of talking to them. And then we have a guest on who's like done it, who's built a company, a brand, etc. And I've had, you know, Bobbi Brown on, Sarah Blakely, Sophia Bush, Kristen Bell, Rachel Zoe, just like a lot of really great women who have like really compelling stories to share on different facets of their business. So for instance, with Sarah Blakely's episode, we tackled failure And she talked a lot about launching Arm Spanx and how, like, when it first launched, it like was a total fail. The product didn't work, you know, all that stuff, which I thought was really interesting to share because like that was a story that hadn't been told. Mm-hmm. And then how they relaunched it, redid it, reinvigorated the product and like came back bigger and better than ever. So I think it's always interesting to kind of take like a point in time or a specific topic with these women and kind mm-hmm. of go deep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. What's been the most popular episode so far? What do you think people love about it?
I mean, the most popular episode is Tan France. So we did a live
French tuck it, baby.
We did a live episode with him at South By that was like one of my favorite interviews I've ever done. He's amazing mm-hmm. and so funny, but actually had really incredible entrepreneurial advice as well because he's cool. actually owned and run different businesses. So definitely tune in for that one if you want to like LOL. Oh my God.
Let's pause for a moment for a quick coffee break.
So today we're going to be talking to you for just a couple minutes about magic mushrooms and not the psychedelic kind.
Definitely not. I'm sipping on my coffee here, but it's not my usual coffee.
No, what's in the cup? Mm. Tell us.
So this is from Four Sigmatic. Four Sigmatic is a brand that we discovered at Sephora last year.
Yeah, we did. They're genius marketers, so they know all the cool places to be.
Yeah.
I love the way they've just drilled down on mushrooms though, because they have so many different offerings. They've got coffees, they've got cocos, they've got the lattes that are kind of more like a tea and a huge range of mushrooms, just tapping into that antioxidant, anti-inflammatory properties.
Yeah, they really are all about functional mushrooms and adaptogens and incorporate them into these mainstream drinks. So my favorite that I'm drinking is the Four Sigmatic Mushroom Coffee Mix with Lion's Mane and Chaga. To confirm, this is actually coffee, tastes like coffee.
Doesn't taste like mushrooms.
No, it does not. And it's 100% organic Arabica coffee beans. So it tastes really good. And I love that it has lion's mane and chaga mushrooms in it. Those are known for the brain health benefits. I love that I'm getting my caffeine kickstart in the day, but also doing something good for my brain health with that anti-inflammation.
We need that before recording.
Heck yeah. What are you drinking?
So I don't drink coffee though, but I'm really enjoying the golden latte mushroom mix with shiitake and turmeric. Mm,
I've had that. It's good.
It tastes more like turmeric, which a lot of us will go out and buy like a shot of it here or there just to give that little bit of an extra kick. And it also has the anti-inflammatory properties, antioxidant and antimicrobial. And I'd love to try it over ice because it's so freaking hot.
Yeah, with coconut milk, it would be really, really good. So Four Sigmatic has a special offer for Breaking Beauty listeners. If you head to foursigmatic.com/beauty, you can receive 15% off your Four Sigmatic purchase. That's foursigmatic.com/beauty.
So head on over to foursigmatic.com/beauty or use discount code beauty at checkout.
Now back to today's show. So female empowerment has like been a central theme for Create and Cultivate. I read in your bio that you were able to sort of turn distrust into determination and frustration into fuel. What was your experience coming up in the workplace that led to this moment where you really wanted to break out and do your own thing? Can we talk about some of those maybe negative experiences?
Some real talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So I was actually like living and working in New York City, was like on the corporate track for sure, was working at different companies, was transferred out to LA, was working at this job and like got laid off. So it was really interesting because one, I was like always the girl that was killing it in her career. It was really successful. Like that was who I was and who I identified as personally, professionally, et cetera. And then essentially getting laid off like shattered all of those kind of notions. And I was in a city I just moved to where I had no connections or relationships. And it was like all entertainment focused. And I was like, I know nothing about that. So it was really kind of a pivotal moment to when I reached out, started like seeing if I wanted to do some freelance stuff, was looking for jobs, and really starting a company kind of fell into my lap. It was never something where I was like, I'm going to break out on my own and like start this business. I was just kind of like, I don't know what's happening. Like I was like upset and like trying to figure it out, getting clients, kind of navigating it. And then like one thing led to another. And it was like, I got more clients. I was able to hire employees. I was able to like get office space, you know, all those different things that kind of happened. I ended up bringing on a business partner that didn't end up great. So I ended up breaking up with that business partner, ended up kind of putting like I like moved to Portland, had like an existential crisis, like came back. I was like, I'm going to work for Nike. And then I like moved back and I was like, never mind. I'm going to keep running this business. Like it's never a straight path. Like there's that, you know, kind of image where it's like entrepreneurship A to B, like straight line. And it's like curly and it goes all over the place. It's like, actually it's more like this. It really is. And then my first business I ended up running for 7 years until I sold it, which is an amazing success story and like so exciting and awesome. But there was like so many ups and downs to getting to that point. And then I started Create and Cultivate. And so now I'm still in the ups and downs of running my second company, different types of ups and downs. Yeah. But yeah, it's constantly, it's really challenging. Like, you know, being an entrepreneur, I think has been, I think a lot of people want to be faces of companies, not entrepreneurs, where they kind of get all the, they speak on the panels and they get to do all the fun stuff and they get to go all the cool dinners and like, look, that's amazing. And that's part of it. But the day-to-day grind of building a business, specifically a self-funded company, which is what we are, is hard AF. And like hiring a team is hard. Getting people to like execute on your vision is hard. It's very, very difficult and very rewarding at the same time. But I think, you know, in the age of social media, I think there's a lot of misconceptions about what it takes to be an entrepreneur and understand, because people love seeing a success story, but people also love seeing people fail. And I think it's very true of, unfortunately, specifically female entrepreneurs, like media and, you know, people on Instagram, haters, whatever, like they like to come for you and try to like take down your business. And like, we have this happen to us all the time. And I'm like, we're literally just trying to empower women. And like, people will you know, want to take that away. So it's like, it's a hard thing. And that's, I'm sure that's true of every single type of company you're in. And I see a lot of entrepreneurs post things where like, you know, someone's knocked off their product or like, you know, something's happened where, you know, things didn't get shipped out in time and they have like 9,000 comments where people are like, and I see it all the time. And it's like, it's hard. It's hard work. And it's your name on the line always.
Yeah. And I think to your point, we had a guest on Tomi from, she's the founder of Makeup by Melon and Girls. And she just said, there's this whole culture around celebrating entrepreneurship. Like it's, you're like a hero, you know, you're like killing it. And like, there's, it's just like, what was the word she used to describe it? It's like
entrepreneurship porn or something.
Something like that, where she's just like, it's this like facade where everybody's like killing it and up at 5 a.m. it's the grind, I've already meditated, like it's like, you know, just like celebrating this like archetype essentially of an entrepreneur. And she's just like, it doesn't like, exist, and it's actually dangerous.
It's so dangerous. It's so dangerous. And I try to, that's why I always say, when everyone's like, what's your version of self-care, I'm like, I don't know. I work 100-hour weeks. I work on weekends. Like, I interview actually Kristen S on my podcast, and she's killing it too. I should have mentioned her. Like, talk about social and amazing and whatever. And she's a good friend of mine and did my hair for a very long time. And now she's like, can't do it anymore because she's really busy. But but she was saying, she's like, I've missed births, birthdays, baptisms, whatever. Like, because it's like, all I do is work and hustle. And it's funny because like, when I was interviewing her, I know her personally. And I'm like, you are the hardest working person I know. But like, on the gram, you don't necessarily get that vibe. And even me, I'm guilty of that. Like, I, you know, I don't always show like, because you don't want to show like the hardships of your business on Instagram. You're like, well, today was terrible. And like, this person quit and I don't know what I'm going to do, guys. We're figuring it out over here. Like, it's like, no one wants to show that. I get it.
They just come on. They're like, we're killing it. And this is how I do it.
You know, even last year I was like, I haven't seen my friends in so long. Like, and it's like, what's the means to the end? And I think I'm like in a new phase this year a little bit because we're scaling the company, which is amazing. And part of that scaling is because like, I'm doing so much. I'm still doing so much. Any business coach and like my partners and everyone's like, if you want to like build a real company and like keep moving forward, you have to like bring on this other infrastructure. And it's like that constant battle of like more team members, making more money, having, you know, it's
scaling.
Like, it's very stressful and it can be amazing, you know? And I think we're like in that path to get there, but it's like, it's really, really difficult. And I think, I think the entrepreneurial porn or whatever that you guys were talking about is so true. It's way too much. I think it has to stop. And then on the flip side, I feel like there's a lot of now, like the new thing is like, look at all the bad things in my life. Like now everyone's sort of like, well, I'm suffering and I'm, it's like this spectrum of like, everything's really bad or everything's really good, but there's like no in between.
Maybe attention seeking a bit.
Exactly.
So this is a bit of a tough question, but from my personal experience, like before I went out on my own as a freelancer and quasi entrepreneur now, you know, I worked in magazines. So I worked for over a decade through the Devil Wears Prada kind of phase of magazines, right? The black cars and all that. And I'll be honest, it was a little bit toxic. It was a lot of women. And I hate to say that because I want to be about, I want to be here for female empowerment, but it's really hard when you get that culture driven into you. Do you have any advice for people who maybe now are entrepreneurs managing new people? And like, how do you rewire and like take steps in just breaking the wheel, to steal a phrase from Khaleesi?
Yeah. You know? I mean, I wish I knew the answer. I think it's really difficult. And I think, like, I grew up, I actually interned at Condé. I was a journalism magazine major and I interned at Condé. Like, I was at Allure and Self and whatever. Yeah. And it
so you know this. Well.
I know. Like, that narrative is very true to life. Yeah. Like, and I think also any women that I worked for, like, that were in older positions were like, you're a threat. Like, I'm keeping you down here.
Right.
And I think that was a mentality. I do think that's changing, which I think is a good thing, like, where it's mm-hmm. a little bit more inclusive and, like, we want to see women rise to the top. So I think that's good. But I think it's really, really difficult to, yeah, I think it's hard to get people on board. I mean, men, women, whatever. Like, I think there's this nature of competition that's going to happen. I think there's also the challenge of, and this is something that I face a lot, of being a woman in power and being firm in what you want. I get a lot of, I'm like, hey, this needs to be done by this time. And it's like, she's mad at me or mm-hmm. she's upset. And it's right. like, I'm not upset. I'm the boss. Like, that's, and I think this like narrative of like bitch versus boss, which I have in my book Work Party, I talk a lot about it. People are still grappling with that
yes.
and trying to understand, like, women need to be able to be authorities and authoritative yes. and not be perceived as being bitchy or bossy or whatever it is. And I think that's something that still happens, like, even within our own company. That's a struggle, and trying to figure out, how do we get past that?
Well, there was that meme that was out like maybe a couple of months ago. The Cut posted about it, and it was like the basically ascension of exclamation points, and like what it was like, good job, period. It's like, they hate me, oh my god. And if you had like 2 exclamation points, you were like in the safe zone. 3, you were like really killing it, but good job, period, like sent people spiraling.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, you're done.
Yeah.
You're done. Like, it's so insane so to me. Good. And I think it's something that needs to be, people need to be more aware of that and like understanding that. And it's trying to figure that out. And I think also it's just like, we're in this new culture of, and this is something that I'm like experiencing, I've experienced over time, but like, I'm 34. So like my experience and like some of the older women, we have a very similar experience with work. Yeah. So we approach work very similarly and like mm-hmm. with the same type of attitude. Women in their 20s, it's a little different. Like, and not to say like everything's bucketed in one thing, but like, and they have a whole different vision of work because they've seen people grow up monetizing their likeness
and their ideas.
Their ideas.
Yeah.
So I think it's a little, which is amazing. Like, it's insane that you can make 6 figures and be an influencer and like that's your business and that's great. And I think a lot of them think that's like, they have a hard time grappling with the 9 to 6 mm-hmm. and like, they want a job, they need money, but like, they're still kind of trying to build their personal brand. It's like, it's a really, that's also like a challenging thing too, of like, I don't think a lot of people anymore want to help execute on someone else's vision.
Yeah.
Cause they're like, mm-hmm. I just want to execute on mine yes. and like do my thing, which is like not a bad thing per se, but it's just challenging as someone who's trying to build a team.
Yeah.
Like yeah. when you're trying to figure out that.
I think people have to realize that if you want to go out and be successful at that personal brand building or whatever, the best way to up your chances of success is to go out and get experience,
yeah.
real life experience. And, you know, that's something you can get. Like, nobody wants to really work for big corporate. I get that.
Yeah.
But you're going to get experiences that you can take with you for life. And that's beyond the paycheck. You know, take it.
I mean, right? That's how I feel. I mean, I really had 4 years of work experience before starting my own company, which mm-hmm. is probably why there were so many, you know, ups and downs. But I was like self-taught in terms of like mm-hmm. how to deal with things, and you get better over time. But I think that's absolutely right. Like, one, if you want to run your own company, work for a startup.
Yeah.
Work for a startup. Absorb all the knowledge, get close yeah. with the founder.
Let them make the mistakes first.
Exactly. But exactly. Like, I think that's right. And I've had a few girls that have worked for me that have done that, like very like poetically, like come mm-hmm. in, work their asses off, ask all the right questions, done really good work for me. And then been like, I'm going to go do my own thing. And I'm like, get it, girl. But then, you know, there's people that where it's just sort of like, it's a different mentality going into it. But yeah, I mean, I think, and exactly right. Like I always say, if you have a corporate 9 to 5, think of that as like your investor in your company. Like mm-hmm. they're giving you money to, you're learning from them, and then eventually you save up enough that you can do your own thing.
Yeah,
I think that's great too, but I fully agree. I think that's so important.
Totally. Totally.
Oh, I could just talk to you all day.
I know. I'm like, where do we need to...
What's the best piece of management advice you've got? Because I think we just did a listener survey and there were a couple of salon owners that were asking about managing other people and keeping people happy and stuff. And you said yourself, you're kind of like self-taught in that arena. Is there something you've learned that you can pass on?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's like kind of twofold. Like one is that you have to create chain of command, which is something that I think I didn't do for a very long time. So basically what that means is like, when you're the boss and like you're running the company, it's like you want everyone to be able to come to you. You want everyone to talk to you. There's no way to grow your business in that way. So you have to put into place levels and chain of command in the sense of chain of communication. Like who reports to you? Who reports to them? Like, because if everyone's reporting to you, you'll never get anything done. So it's trying to figure out that barrier and that chain of communication, I think, is really important. And I think the other thing is just knowing your boundaries with employees. Like I think some of the mistakes, and even like, again, this isn't for me, but like I see other senior leaders in my company sort of do this. And I've seen it at other companies too, where they just become friends with the people they manage, which look like I get that, like friendship, it's good to find friends, like the whole thing, but like then the respect and the power dynamic is lost. So I think it's really about setting up senior leadership for success to say you're managing a team. Because essentially once that barrier is broken, then it's like, we're all friends and like, we all want the same thing. And like, I'm asking you to work late, but you're like kind of mad now. Like it's like you lose all control. Like at that point. So it's about like power dynamics, chain of command, but also like being a human. Like I think that's like the biggest part of it for me. And this goes for just anything in business. Like at the end of the day, angry clients, mean emails, whatever. I always am like, there's a human at the other end of that that's just trying to do their job. Mm-hmm. And understanding that and coming from a place of empathy, I think works really well. And I think that's the same for employees. It's like you want to be able to set strict boundaries and have protocol, because the moment you're just like, yeah, you can go do that and like you can go do this, and then it's like everyone's just starting to do it as you grow and build a company. But understanding like, look, there's things that are just human that are going to take precedent and that, you know, you kind of have to think about.
Let's do some fun rapid fire now. Yeah. Coming off the stresses of work.
Yeah. Okay. I want to ask this one off the top, which is, who's a voice in social media that everyone should be listening to right now?
Justina Blakeney. I love her. I don't know if you guys know her. She's like an incredible interior designer. She has a book. She created The Jungalo, which is like this really fun thing. Her social media, I feel like, is so authentic and so amazing. And she actually just did a post recently on the call out culture and how she's like, it needs to stop, like where everyone's just like, versus, hey, like I saw you did this, you know, this was my work, can you repost this or whatever it is. Like everyone's just like call out immediately and like blasting stuff. I thought that was so poignant. And her feed is just like, you know, interior porn. It's like amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I need inspo.
I'm going to follow it right away. I need some Jungalo advice. What's the last emoji you sent?
I send the sparkle emoji a lot. Like everything's just like a little sparkle.
Aw, I love
that. It's a good one.
Is that like a text or in Slack?
Slack. Yeah. Slack, I'm all about the gifts though. I like love doing, like I do kill me gif like three times a day on Slack.
Do you have a pet?
Oh my God, I do. His name's Noah. He's the love of my life. He's a 6-year-old Yorkie poo. Aww. And he's so misbehaved. Like he has such separation anxiety. He barks at everything. I brought him to the office. He like peed on a wall. I was like, oh my God. And it was so funny because we just started allowing dogs, and everyone's dog's like a full angel. And mine was like the terror that was like running around barking at everyone. But he's the best thing in my life.
And what's the last gift you give to somebody?
Ooh, well, my sister's about to give birth literally like tomorrow. So I got her the Owlette sock, which I don't know if you guys know what this is. And it's mostly because I'm paranoid psycho, but it's a sock that the newborn wears that has this technology in it where it'll text you if their like heart stops beating. It's so dark. But it's like, I need to know. Like, I was like, I'll just download the app. You don't have to have it. And then I'll just call you like if it happens. But I'm like, I was like, look, like I need to know, like,
this is SIDS prevention.
SIDS prevention. But also my, like, even with my dog, like the first like month I had it, I was like, are you alive? I was like just staring at it sleeping. I'm like, are you still alive?
So you put the socks on the dog?
I'm going to put an owlet on my dog and see what happens. Like I legit, that's actually like the best idea. I love this idea.
Well, shout out to whoever invented owlet.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
That's great. Yeah.
What's the most cherished item in your wardrobe?
Ooh, in my wardrobe.
I'm digging your Proenza t-shirt right now.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
We'll get a photo.
Surprise. It's not stained. That's a good one. I, you know, it's funny. I had a lot of vintage. I was like in a vintage phase in like my 20s and I did really well for myself. I have a lot of like Oscar de la Renta vintage and stuff that I like never wear anymore, but it's like in my closet. My husband's always like, what is this? I'm like, just leave it. But I got this amazing Oscar de la Renta tuxedo shirt that like just is like gorgeous and amazing. And it's probably from like the 50s. And yeah. I just like keep it in my closet.
Oh my gosh. I have an Oscar de la Renta tuxedo dress. That I'm currently, I wish I had it in my car because I would go and get it for you.
I wonder
if it's giving
it
away.
Oh my God.
I just did a massive clothes clean out and it was, it's vintage and it has this really deep plunging V that practically goes to your, you know, your belly button. It's so great. But when I was cleaning out my closet, I was trying everything on because I, you know, I was holding onto it and I was like, this doesn't fit anymore, girl. I'm not
it didn't
be.
Spark joy. Yeah.
No, it just doesn't fit. I'm yeah. like, I need to, there's no way I'm going to be that yeah. size ever again. Anyway, moving on. What are three beauty products in your bag right now?
Ooh, three beauty products in my bag right now. I mean, I live by the Rosebud Salve, like lip gloss. Mm. Like I love that. I think I have Bye Bye Under Eye from It Cosmetics, which is like, I don't know if you've ever used it.
Oh, yeah.
What is it? It's magic. It's so good.
Jill's in love with the foundation,
it's
the
so
brush.
Good.
When are we going to get Jamie on the show? Oh, it's like, soon. We shout her out so many times.
She spoke at Create and Cultivate and was, I mean, her story is unreal.
Unreal.
It's crazy.
Unreal.
So that's a good one. And then probably Hourglass lip gloss.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Great brand.
And last question, what was your very first job and did you love it or did you hate it?
Oh my God, I loved it. I worked at Banana Republic when I was 14. So,
yeah.
And then I like moved up to the like accessories director, which I feel like wasn't like a thing. It was like $7 an hour. I was like, I gave myself that title, but I mean, I loved it. I loved working. Like I was so into it. And like my sister worked at BCBG across the hall and we would be like folding shirts, just like, hey, like whatever. But I feel like everyone should work either retail or restaurant jobs, like in their life. I think it's such a good customer service experience that
so
can really
true.
Lend itself to everything.
Thanks for tuning in. Visit BreakingBeautyPodcast.com for details on all the damn good products we talked about in today's episode.
And be sure to sign up for our newsletter. That way you'll get every episode delivered right to your inbox. You won't miss a single thing.
Or subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever you get your podcast fix.
And please show us some love by rating us or reviewing us in iTunes. See you next time.